Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
And Lindsay. Hello.
Hello.
And Leah's here. Hi, Leah.
Hi. You sounded like a surprising that I'm here. It has been a hot minute.
You're a mess.
Well, wait.
I see all the overdue Teams tasks that said person that
hey,
you that has.
Some of those we paused.
I know, but then some of them we didn't pause. You haven't done them.
Oh, shit.
The one Heather,
I definitely forget.
Yeah.
We have to talk about Minnesota today.
Particularly, I'm always happy to talk about Minnesota.
Particularly Minneapolis, Minnesota today.
That is not a hellscape, but it's actually beautiful and there's lots of cool stuff happening. You mean that city? Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay, well, I came across a TikTok yesterday of a giant tree pencil sharpening event.
Yeah.
That was taking
it's
place.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Like they have a giant pencil sharpener. The story is it's a tree that was hit by lightning. The guy took all the branches down, but he didn't want to just take the tree out. He didn't know what he wanted to do.
Yeah, so Minneapolis is very funny because we have lakes in the middle of the city, which is very rare, I believe, from what I hear. And this is on Lake of the Isles, and Lake of the Isles is gorgeous and beautiful. And there's like multi-million dollar homes along this parkway. So there's very mature trees, right? These are like old homes. And so this fell and people were like, oh my God, it's so sad. Like, we're kind of crunchy people. We like our trees. We don't want to cut it down. So they like painted it like a pencil and then they decorated it like a pencil. And
yeah, a yellow number two pencil. And once a year they have on the first Saturday in June, they have pencil sharpening celebration where they parade in with this giant pencil sharpener and then climb up on scaffolding and sharpen the pencil.
How many people does it take to sharpen the pencil?
Six. I think
it's a lot. Six. Like it's giant. And like thousands of people show up.
Yeah, and people were dressed like in, you know how they do like Disney bound where you dress like something but it's not blatantly. So you did have people that were wearing like pencil costumes, but then you also had people like in fashion dressed up like pencils. Like one woman had a pink fastener and like a silver necklace and a yellow shirt or dress.
Oh, so she's like a deconstructed
pencil.
And
then like she had heels on that were like granite gray or something. Like this was like wild. I'm like, okay, Ohio's weird. Like, Jenny lives near a town that the first of the year they drop a walleye. Like, it's weird.
Well, and they hand out pencils to the kids.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a whole community thing. Like, NPR, so Minneapolis, Minnesota Public Radio, it's like they are all over it. It's I think I sent it to Jenny because it's like Jenny's like nerd like me.
I'm pretty sure I definitely have the NPR.
It was wild. I was just like, okay, hello, the wacky people of Minnesota. We love you.
Other thing that I think is maybe if you don't live in a climate like ours, like it's finally nice, right? And so we've all been inside. And when people talk about like you bring stuff to your neighbors when they move in, like we do live in that kind of neighborhood. Like,
oh, we live in that kind of neighborhood also.
So like we like the people we live by sometimes, I mean, generally.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't, but so we get out and it's nice out finally.
Yeah. No, I get that. And it was delightful and it was wholesome. I just was like, okay. It was pretty niche. So did anybody do anything exciting this weekend? Lindsay. Okay. Well, Lindsay, congratulations, Lindsay. You are now a homeowner in New Mexico.
Yes. Very excited. And to kick off this grand adventure, my husband literally spent all day Saturday, 8 hours of his Saturday cleaning mouse poop, going full, like Breaking Bad on it. Like I was joking, like, do you want to get the Breaking Bad suit? And he was like
a hazmat suit.
Yeah. I was like, do you want to do it? Like there's actually a mural of this. like a popular eatery here. And I was like, do you want to get those? And he was like, no. And then like he was cleaning it and I was like taking care of a bunch of other stuff because like only one person needed to be exposed. I've been calling the house the hand to hotel, the hand to hangout, the pest paradise. Like it's been super cute, super fun. Like it's, we knew going in that this is what it was going to be. Like you like we knew. Like this is not like, it's not like a surprise. We got our keys and like, oh wow, there's mouse poop. No, we knew.
You
Like
know.
it was in the home inspection report. It's fine. Like it's done. We spent all day cleaning.
Bring
But
up the
you have a
mouse traps.
house. I'm very excited. I really like it. And like the fact that I like the house so much that I'm not freaked out about the sheer volume of mouse poop that was cleaned up out of it is like a good thing.
You no
Right.
longer have to do a three-story walk-up.
No. I
And you
have
don't
gone
have to deal with
down
your
the stairs
landlord anymore.
times.
Right.
Yeah, that too. And our neighbors are nice. We met our neighbors.
That's
It's
nice.
great.
Home ownership is one of those things where it's really nice, but it really fucking sucks at the same
I was gonna
time.
say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're just gonna have like we knew that we were just gonna kind of like dive right into the crappiest parts of it. And then like eventually it'll get better.
It
It does
does.
get better. And then sometimes it gets worse.
I mean,
Probably not. But I mean, yeah, you never know. It
yeah.
was a rental, so lots of deferred maintenance that we're trying to take care of now, and hopefully nothing else. We'll see. There's
I really
always.
like how you put deferred maintenance. That's a really nice way of saying
Yeah.
Our house had lots of deferred maintenance until now we get,
it.
and now there's no deferring anymore.
You can only defer for so long.
Yeah. Oh my. Okay. Well, that's a fun week. Jenny, did you have to work this weekend?
No, I worked Friday, but yeah, I just got a
Nice.
lot going on.
So this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we are going to revisit a trope we covered back in episode 191.
Holy
Um,
crap.
but because romance readers are nothing if not loyal to their favorites, we're diving back into one of the most enduring relationship dynamics in romance, brother's best friend. Or as some of readers like to call it, the man who was standing in her kitchen eating cereal when she was 12 and somehow became hot. The tropes, it's been around forever. We can pinpoint it to movies, to soap operas, to television shows. Like it, this is not, no one's breaking ground in Brother's Best Friend.
No, it's been around
And let's
forever.
not copyright it. Sorry.
Let's not bring that up because that's
Sorry,
a
I just
two
weeks.
can't.
2 weeks will
That's what
be.
I've been doing on Threads, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I need to get off this.
We're not going to talk about what I fought in the comments today because Simon and Schuster, their
Are
marketing
fucking
person
idiots.
yesterday, put a thing that not every book needs an HAA, and I'm including you, romance was in parentheses.
Yeah, well,
And
the whole
here,
like premise of a romance is a fucking
so
HEA.
here's the deal.
That
Should we be
person
bullying
got
and
fired.
should we be bullying and piling on this probably intern doing Simon and Schuster social media? Maybe not. But here's the thing. They are a publishing label. They have
A
tons.
huge publishing label at
Right,
that.
they're one of the big five, right? They just gave permission to every Tom, Dick, and stupid Harry to come in to romance and be like, I don't have to write an HEA. Simon and Schuster says I don't have to. Fuck right off. I'm sorry. It's stupid. And these people that are like, well, sometimes I like to have big emotions and big feels, and I don't need a happily ever after. Then read literary fiction. There are whole genres. And
I
what makes
mean,
me mad?
women's fic doesn't have to have an HEA.
Nope.
Stay in there.
And even if you want spice, fine, look for thrillers that have sex scenes in them. Look for mysteries that have sex scenes in them. But you'll notice this conversation never comes up with, you know, well, I'd really like to read a military suspense without, you know, military or suspense. Or I really like cozy mystery, but I wish there wasn't always a mystery. Those conversations never happen.
No,
It only
no.
happens in romance. And it comes down to these idiots who want romance money but don't want to do romance work and think they're doing something new and innovative.
Well, but it
And they're
also
not.
is like people not understanding what romance actually is. Like the romance genre, it is based on the HEA. Like from like the first romance book that was written, there was a, I mean, it might have been like traumatic to get there, but there was a happily ever after. Like, and that has been the premise
The thing
since
is
romance has become a
people
thing.
don't
You
know
pick.
this. In the 80s, the RWA took extensive amount of money and time lobbying publishing to create genre standards of romance, because in the 70s everything was getting shoved into romance if it was geared towards a woman reader, to for the female gaze. So the RWA said, hey, you're dropping like Nicholas Sparks or books like that into our genre and it doesn't belong. And so they defined it had to have an HEA. And yes, the RWA is outdated. They made some big mistakes. They still have a lot of issues, but they did work very hard in the 80s to create the genre standards for romance so that publishers couldn't come in and be like, well, we're going to just switch this up and we're going to put this book where,
Oh, just you can't just slap romance on any book and it be a romance book. Like, that's the thing.
And if you talk to people that are in publishing, editors, marketers, they're going to tell you it has to have an HEA for them to have a romance, or this happens. Anyway, yeah, Threads is a giant
It's a
mess.
little toxic right now.
It is, but you know what though? I feel like 3 years ago, we were having these same conversations about book talk.
Well, I feel like book talk is still toxic.
Oh, it is. But Threads is worse.
Threads is
Oh,
worse.
yeah.
I mean, but are they just doing it as a marketing ploy to get attention for their books? I
Well,
mean, I don't
that's what
know.
Michael said. He goes, we all
It's
know
just
rage bait.
stupid.
Michael said, rage bait works.
It
So
does, yeah.
was the marketing person trying to get engagement? Because now we're all saying Simon and Schuster. And we're going to look who's on their catalog. And we're going to look like what authors are writing romance at Atria, which is owned by Simon and Schuster. Pages and Vine, who distributes Simon and is distributed by Simon and Schuster. Like, we're all looking at that now, and it's created engagement, even if it's negative engagement. And if we know anything in this current climate, negative engagement creates demand. I mean, that girl that tried to trademark Hot Girls Read, legit, her follower count was
Oh, it's
climbing. It's not anymore, but the first couple of days, and people were like, we don't have to bully her. Maybe she didn't understand. That's right. She didn't understand the community. And if you're gonna,
She understood what she was doing.
she didn't
She
know
did
what she
not
was doing.
understand the visceral reaction to what was
Did she
like.
not realize just the sheer amount of lawyers that are in the
No.
romance
No, she
community? Like,
has no idea.
clearly.
She has not a clue.
I don't think
Well, her
unless
mail's
you're
gonna tell her.
I don't think unless you are immersed in the genre that you. If I was just a casual reader, picking up my books at the bookstore, picking up my books at the library, listening through the apps and stuff like
Yeah,
that,
you
I
wouldn't know.
wouldn't know how many lawyers are in this community. It's not until you are like in the community, engaging with these authors, engaging with these marketing people and publishers and stuff, that you realize, holy crap, there's a whole lot of lawyers. Because I had a meeting last week with an author, and we were chatting, and she's like, well, I'm a lawyer. And I'm like,
No
well,
surprise
welcome
there.
to romance. Everybody is.
You and like five other people I just
And
talked
she's
to.
like, are you? She's like, really? And I'm like, name an author for me. So she said Kennedy Ryan. I'm like, yeah, she's a lawyer. And she's
Well.
like, oh, okay. I'm like, Melanie Harlow's a lawyer,
I mean,
Avery
they might
Flynn.
not be practicing anymore,
Right,
but they
most of
did
them
at one
aren't. Yeah.
point.
Wait, Melanie Harlow's a lawyer? I thought she was a
She's.
teacher.
No, she
Yeah,
was a lawyer.
she was a lawyer.
Yeah. Melanie Harlow was a lawyer, and then like Serena Bowen was Wall Street. She made tons of money on Wall
Yeah.
Street in the 90s.
We figure C.R. Jane is still practicing.
Yeah, C.R. Jane is still
Yep.
practicing, and
Jenna Hartley
Sonia
is a
Dunham is.
lawyer. I don't think she's practicing anymore, but
I don't think she practiced after she had her daughter.
I don't think so, but
Anyway, but there's a
yeah.
whole lot of lawyers. And so again, I just don't think that I think this girl thought, And the reason she claims she wanted it is because she had some really specific designs and she saw people copying her designs on Etsy and she wanted to be able to take them down.
Honestly, like, you look at Etsy and like you will find 7,000 of the exact same design.
But the other thing, like, and not to be mean, but like they're not great. Like, there's nothing creative about it. It's just,
no, there's, I mean, no creativity.
And like, she lied in her application because she said that she's been using it since 2021. But then if you go and scroll through her Instagram, she talks about how she found reading in 2023.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. It's a whole.
And really,
somebody like did book boy, or like somebody's like tried to do book boyfriend. I'm
well,
like, oh my God.
And a bookstore is trying to do blind date with a book.
Mm-hmm.
And Boy Aquarium I saw is up there. Some of these, I wonder if people were doing them preemptively so that other people didn't do them. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to do book boyfriend. I own the copyright. So nobody else can come and try to take it. But Blind Date with a Book, the American Bookseller Association, the ABA, is working very hard to fight that copyright. And we the rumors in publishing on that one are the business did it in an effort to prevent this Walmart and Target campaigns of where they're doing blind dates with a book on mass whole. Hmm. So, but Walmart and Target aren't even calling them that.
Mm-mm.
They're not calling it a blind date with a book. They're, you know, it's like grab bag book or something to that effect. Because they're not just doing it for romance. They're doing it
for everything for us.
Thrillers, mm-hmm. horror. So, but anyway. Jen Ellen's in the comments listing all the lawyers she knows in Romance Land. Yeah.
There's so many.
I don't have my comments up tonight, so I'm missing those.
There are so many.
Well, like Avery Flynn, who is also a lawyer, like her big thing is you like swing a cat and you'll hit a
lawyer.
Hit a romance author who's a lawyer.
Yeah. There's
and readers. Like there's a lot of readers, right? Here. Like they have a tough, if they're practicing, it's a tough job and they need an escape. Like I totally get it.
Yeah.
We all get it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is not what this episode is about.
Oh, I know.
This episode is instead, we're going back to Brother's Best Friend. So today we're asking, why does this trope still work? What makes a great Brother's Best Friend romance? And what are your favorite versions of it? So let's just start it off. Why are we still obsessed with Brother's Best Friend? Why is this such a go-to trope?
I think it's kind of charming, right? Like they've maybe have known each other a while, or maybe they see themselves in their like natural like habitat. Is that like the right word, right?
Access.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's a step away from friends to lovers,
mm-hmm.
but there is a built-in relationship or connection, even if they come into it as adults, as enemies to lovers for whatever reason. And I wonder, Jenny, for you, is it a little easier for if the romance moves a little faster?
Yeah.
In a Brother's Best Friend, that
yeah,
it doesn't
feel
forced.
They likely know like those little like
you know, intricacies.
Yeah, or like weird like traumatic events that really weren't that traumatic, but they are as a kid.
Yeah. So because I was thinking about it, and it's not friends to lovers, because oftentimes, especially, there's like some kind of tension or.
Well, because it depends. It's like because a lot of times there's somewhat of an age gap, like whether it's like 2 years or 5 years or whatever, but it's rare that it's like you get those rare ones where it's like the siblings are twins. And so it's like they're all the same age. And like that adds a different dynamic. But I think it's because it adds in so many, like there is a friendship often, but it's, doesn't give the friends to lovers thing because like they weren't really friends, but they were like friend adjacent type of thing.
Okay. And this is another question. As we're reading a brother's best friend or a sibling's best friend, there's already a history before it's on page,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to give us a lot of background, right? Yeah. Because we just accept that they know each other. Mm-hmm. They know each other's history. And an author doesn't have to do as much work to make things land.
Yeah.
I think very often there's like that one or two line about how like he was always at our house, or he even went on family vacations, or something about like he's just part of the family.
Yeah.
There's no illusions about what you're getting into. Like, you know this person because they haven't put on a mask. Like, you're seeing the real version of this person, and you're developing a relationship from like a point of reality versus like just based on attraction alone. So there's substance from the get-go. It's not like, it's not like, even if it is like a, they trip and fall into bed together or whatever, like there's history there. There's like immediately history, which makes it, I don't know.
Well, and I feel like with these ones, it's the added tension of like, especially if, depending on how it works out, because sometimes it bugs me, but it's like how the brother is going to react. Like whether it's like he is for something or against something. It's like, so sometimes it's a secret romance, and sometimes it's like they know the right away.
It's the forbidden aspect of it.
Like some, but it's not always that. Like, we get those rare ones where like the brother is totally for it and like has no adverse reaction whatsoever, aside from like, why didn't you fucking tell me like it was happening before? Like,
And I think it was in that, back in that last episode of one. No, I think it was when we talked about the femme fatale.
Maybe, yeah.
And Lindsay brought up to her, the brother's best friend, the female heroines are often these femme fatales. And I cannot get that out of my head whenever I read them, because oftentimes it is this heroine who is in the pursuit, pushing the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're usually pushing the guy, and the guy has a little bit more of the guy code kind of thing. Like, I like, or all of a sudden they see the girl and they're like, wait a second, you're so-and-so's sister. Like, last time I saw you, you were not, you know what I mean? It's a little
And it doesn't have that like weird, like sometimes there's like the ick where it's like they've known them for a long time and it's like all of a sudden they're like of age and it's like then they notice it. But it's like sometimes, like oftentimes, like they haven't seen them for 3 or 4 years, and it's so it's like the last time they saw them, they were this scrawny tween, and now that they see him again, like they're an actual like grown like adult, and so it's like the reaction is very different. So it's not like you don't always see those in between years, because like they haven't seen had those in between
years. And oftentimes it's a lot of where one has left, like if it's in a small town or a community,
one has left and is moving back,
right? And so sometimes you can accept things like, because for me, you know, we talk about my problems with friends to lovers is that you continue to be like, but, and there's this long drawn out piece, and you can get some of the same vibes in Sibling's Best Friend, but because there usually is a space before they reconnect.
Yeah.
You get the, we have to tell your brother kind of stuff. But it doesn't seem to be so full of excuses.
Well, and I think part of it too is a lot of times, especially when you do get the backstory, and if the friend was around a lot, like if there is a significant gap of age, like it was like this was the little sister like following us around type of thing. And so they didn't necessarily see them as anything more than that. But having like not seen them for a little bit, it makes it a little bit more realistic.
Susie says it's the Sabrina effect.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe.
I love that movie.
Jenny, are you sleeping up there?
Yep, sure am.
With their eyes. So what do, like, this your favorite brother's best friend stories, what kind of things are often included in those that make them the top tier brother's best friend stories for you? Like, what are some of your, you don't have to say your favorites, but what are some of the key pieces in those stories that you do love?
I like the sneaking around, which is a little like, I don't necessarily like deception, but it is kind of like they're sneaking around and they're like learning each other in a different way, right? Like, they see each other outside of that sibling, right? Like, they learn who they are as people. I really
Well,
like that.
I always like it when they think they're sneaking around,
but they're not.
Yeah.
But they're not. And the brother's like, yeah, I knew. Because you all are not very good at this.
They're not doing anything wrong per se.
Right. But they act like they're
don't
like
don't know how to communicate.
Well, and I always love it. Like they're always like, well, they just can't know. And literally you like got caught kissing by him or making out in the kitchen.
Well, it's
knows.
Like that Friends like scene where it's like they don't know that we know that they don't know that we know type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite, I actually love when they like find out, right? And so I think one of my absolute favorite ones is Kelly Jameson. It's book one in her Aces series, and they are
Army.
It's the Captain Mark, and she is like, and it's Lovie Armstrong, and they're in Army's bathtub, and it is so good. It's like, I love that scene. It was so good. Oh my God. And Mark is just like this, like goody two shoes, and it's like, oh my God.
And then he, and I do like it when, even though the brother might have a moment, I don't love those. I don't love when he's like, we're not friends, blah, 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 and blah, because girl's an adult, so shut up.
Well, but also, you're friends with this person.
Okay,
like, are they really that bad of a person?
As my kids are getting older, I have a theory on why this, like, how this could happen in real life.
Okay.
So the reason the like brother gets so mad is because him and the sister are way more alike than they want to acknowledge.
I can see that.
So like it makes sense that his best friend also likes his sister, but so it feels like the sister is then picked over the brother.
Well, my eldest brother is 6 years older than I am, and his best friend's name was Larry, and I loved Larry. He was one of the few guys when they would come back from college that would, when he'd be in, come back to my parents' house, that he'd like stop and talk to my sister and I, ask us how school was, what were we doing, what play were we in, and stuff like that. And I loved Larry because he was one of the first guys that ever like acted like we were humans and not annoyances.
Well, he paid attention. He treated you to like conversation.
And after I had seen him a couple times, like after I was in college and stuff like that. And I used to tell my brother, I was like, I'm gonna marry Larry. And he's like, you're not. I'm like, no, seriously, Larry wants to marry me. We're gonna get married. And he's like, no, you're not. And then a year later, it was, I think Mike and I were already dating. Larry announces he's engaged to a girl named Becky. And I was like, see? See?
That's funny.
God, that's so funny. I have a younger brother. And so I really had zero interest in dating.
Okay. Kelly Jameson has a lot of brother's best friend.
She does. Lots of weddings.
And a lot of weddings. Best friends.
Well, it's like the whole teammate sister type of thing. It's like a built-in, like if you read a lot of hockey series, like there's at least two or three of those in every series.
And here's the deal. I like actually can see how this happens in hockey. And I know that
it's just a lot if of you fucking have time spent.
Yeah.
Together.
Like you're just schlepping along for the ride, right? Like any sport really. I know. Why do I always get this? Like baseball, like you're there a long time. And if there's like time hanging
I'm
out,
I'm sure it happens in the swim like world because we spend a lot of freaking time together.
Yeah,
for sure. I totally understand how it happens.
Well, and I can see how it happens, particularly not just in sports, but if it's like small town, right?
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of options.
There's not a ton of options. And even if you're like 5, 6, 7 years younger than your brother, you know, it's still, there's probably still not a ton of options.
Like growing up, like my, like our high school where I went, it is 7th through 12th. So like, and there's only like 700 kids in the entire building, if that. Like we probably didn't even have that many because like I had 102 and my class was really big. So it's like, you didn't have a lot of options. And yes, there were neighboring schools, but you didn't always interact with them because you didn't like them because of sports, you know? So it's like having built in like people made it easier.
Well, and one of the things that as I was writing this doc, I thought about the conflict feels more grounded and believable. Mm-hmm. So the conflict of the forbiddenness of it or the you know, maybe we don't tell everybody that we're attracted to each other just yet. Let's figure out what's going on before we blow things up. It just feels like it could truly happen, right? Mm-hmm. Because in fact, my best friend married my brother. I mean, they're divorced now, but that's just a little dig I had to make. But like my best friend from high school, she married my brother. Like it happens.
It does.
It's not, this is not like groundbreaking and only in romance. It's not like kidnapping a mafia.
It really is. I mean, yes, it does happen.
Okay. And this was an interesting concept because I was reading earlier last week, I was working on my certifications for some editing type stuff. And the concept of relationship blindness, that either the characters believe that no one knows they're attracted to each other, which we see in several different tropes, but also that like the brother doesn't pick up on the fact that they pretty much were making out in front of you. It's like the feet under the table kind of thing. You know, playing footsie under the table. Like, are you sure?
Well, I think sometimes guys are just really, I mean, oblivious. I live with, they're oblivious. Like,
yeah, I think
they're not
that's
picking
part of
up
it.
On that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think my oldest, I don't know if he can pick up on it, if I'm being real. He's kind of, Mario's dumb kid.
So the concept is it occurs when two characters are emotionally attached to each other long before they recognize their feelings as romantic, or it can be as others see their feelings as romantic. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, it's my book of the week, and I'll talk about it during book of the week, but I read Jay Salmon's, not the latest one, but her last book that just came out. Mm-hmm. And the brother was like, he's out of town and they're both staying in his house in Boston. And he's like, I just really appreciate you being there and looking out for her because, you know, the last guy she dated was not a good guy. And I'm like, okay. Like you pretty much just gave them permission.
You're setting them up basically.
Yeah, basically. Seriously. Yeah.
Did he have a good reaction though?
Did he? Sort of, yes. It's a complicated story. I'll talk about it in book of the week. Okay. See here. Another good example. Oh, What Saves Us by Maggie Gates.
Yeah, it's on my list.
That's a relationship blindness for sure. For the two of them.
He's just hanging out at the house.
But if you think about it, because that's a slow burn.
Yeah.
The two of them didn't realize that the attraction was more than just co-bonding over trauma, that it was romantic. Like it took them a long time to realize that.
Yeah. And they had a lot going on, and that's right. That almost was like, I listed it as a brother's best friend, but also a friends to lovers. Like, I feel like, yes, it's the brother, but also they became friends. Right.
Yeah.
And also, I just like that trope. So
is there any authors that write brother's best friend that you don't love when they write brother's best friend? Because I have one author that I think she does it in every series. And it's like too much.
I think it really depends on, because like I've read a couple where like I don't love the way that they turn out. The story isn't bad, but I think it's hit or miss for me. It doesn't necessarily, like, there's not a specific author I'm like, oh, they can't write them. I think it's just sometimes they are more successful in the way they write them.
And this, it's Catherine Cowles. I don't think that she can't write them.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic always feel the same from one book to the next.
Well, but we've talked about her books in general having that feeling as a whole.
It is because she used to, like, up until this latest series and then her other spinoff, like, she follows the same formulaic structure. They're all 5-book series. Like, the last book is always going to be either the most tortured heroine or hero.
Mm-hmm.
in the series. Like, they're always going to have the same jobs, the same, like, she recycle, it's just very similar. Like, every single book, the dynamics are just the same.
I think Kryn Michaels does the same thing, though.
Well, I think Kristen Proby is the same too. It's like they all have like a specific way in which style in which they write, and it's like interchangeable, like series to series.
Lindsay, do you have a favorite brother's best friend?
I have a lot, but I don't know. What am I gonna say? I'll say Sexy Nerd by Kaylee Loring. I love that one a whole lot. It's like he becomes a billionaire, they fall in love later.
Yeah.
That's just a really good one.
Jenny, do you have one?
I'll probably Wish by Cambria Herbert. It's an MM, but it's so the three of them live together because the brother's parents died and like gave like medical attorney to like the other guy because he was older. But all of them are queer and like none of them pick up on it like that the other ones are also queer. And I'm just like, yeah, this is like a group of guys living together.
Yeah.
Like stupid boys.
Yeah. What about
They're
you?
all on a swim team too. Well, not the oldest guy,
I
but
mean,
not shocking. Heather, do you have a favorite?
well, I do love that Aces one. And it's not a brother, it's a sister. So it's kind of a twist. So A Fearless Memory by Marie Johnston.
Oh, that's a good one.
They're divorced and then they start like a friends with benefits, and she's best friends with his sister. And so then they sneak around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and so she's sleeping with her ex-husband and she's keeping it from her best friend. So it's her best friend's brother.
Which I mean, Marie does those a lot because the one with Stetson and what's her name? I can't think of the title. Like, that's a brother's best friend one, too.
She
So
does
I
that one.
no, that one's sister's best friend, I think.
I went through my reading tracker for the last 3 years, and this is a trope. I clearly read a lot because I think I had 36 books for the 3 years. That's a lot.
Yeah. Leah, do you have a favorite?
I really enjoy this trope, but When the Time is Right by Ally Martinez
I
and M.
just pulled
Maybe,
that one
Ma
up.
Maybe. That one is one of my all-time favorites. There's just something,
You
first off, if you
talk
have
about
not
a
read this
slow burn.
book, but it makes so much sense, and there's like heartbreaking things, and honestly, it's like single parent, but single parent co-parenting really well. So they hit like all the right notes in this book. It's such a good book, and like Hudson and Alexis are like the like perfect couple, and it just and
I
it's an
love
older, but
that book. It's
it's
6 years
such a good
old.
story. It's from
July of
20.
2020 is when it came out.
Yeah, so it's perfect for the reading challenge for the extra like thing,
Yeah.
and it's not super long. It's 325 pages of perfection. Like,
It
seriously.
is one of those stories that you like, and I think Ally Martinez does this, and we don't necessarily talk about her enough. She writes books that like imprint on your soul.
My God. So I am listening. I started it while I was in the office this week and I haven't had time, but I started listening to From the Embers because that book like is years old, but it still lives like rent-free in my head.
Starts with a bang. Yeah.
Literally. And then
Literally.
it just keeps going.
You
And
know,
it's so good. She's such a great storyteller.
she is. And the way she layers emotion with character building and also world building just creates this intense dynamic of a story. Another author that we don't talk about enough, and I don't know that she's currently writing, is Miralyn Kelly. She writes several Siblings' Best Friend,
Yeah, she
Brother's
hasn't
Best Friend.
released anything for a while.
Because I love Dirty Secret. Well, I guess they're not really brother, it's brother's enemy or brother's
Oh, yeah, because they're
adversary.
more rivals on the ice. But she has a couple best friend, brother's best friend, though, too.
I think one of the funniest brother's best friends, where like they really are adversaries to each other, and that's A Favor for a Favor. by Helena Hunting. Like, I cackled so much during that book because they were so ridiculous. His Superman underwear and
pineapples and olives on pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, such a good book.
That's 2019.
Is it that old already?
No.
Yeah.
Brenda I haven't Rothert, read it, but
Brenda Rothert has one, Lost in You. I think it's underrated. They're in a plane crash and they're like forced in the woods and he takes care of her and it's really good.
Hmm. What were we gonna say, Lindsay?
Lost in You.
I was gonna say, like, I would count Beauty and the Mustache by Penny Reed as a brother's best friend. Because he's like kind of friends with all of their brothers, but definitely like pretty close with her oldest brother.
Jethro.
Yeah. That one's really good. That's one of the more emotional Penny Reed books.
Mm-hmm.
Every Time I Fall by Lexi Ryan. Lexi Ryan does a lot of brothers' best friends that are
really
good.
But that one is really good. Because it's also like missed like connections.
Well, it's Dean and Abby. They, you know, she's plus size.
Oh, I'm thinking of the one in the Jackson.
Yeah. No, this is Dean and Abby.
I like Dean and Abby. Especially like with the way that he is with her too.
Yeah.
So Joe Segura, The Lust Crusade, is very good brother's best friend. So, and like they've pined for each other, but then he goes missing and is like declared dead and she's like doesn't believe it, but it's really good.
Heather, I think we have to take your temperature though. Uh-huh. Because I asked you for your favorite brother's best mm-hmm. friend
and I didn't say Stone.
Dax.
Right, Dax and Stone. Those are my two. It was on my spreadsheet so many times. I know. I'm doing well.
Like I think it's we can't have an episode without you loving on Dax.
Or Stone. Okay, Stone is probably my second favorite. And Stone, it's like real tragic, right? So his brother dies in the plane crash. And his brother is best friends with Harlow. And is a lawyer.
But I think the thing about that one is like the brother's best friend is a female, which we don't always have that side. Usually it's like the brother's best friend is a male, but we have those like random ones.
Well, and I went looking for a sapphic of a brother's best friend or a sibling's best friend and the couple be sapphic, and I could not find one. So if you know of one where, you know, it could be the brother and his best friend can be female, or if you know, like it's her older sister's best friend. If you know anything like that with it's a sibling's best friend, but the book is of a sapphic couple, please let me know because I would like to know. I went looking and I couldn't find
one. Like thinking about it, I can't think of any.
I can't either.
Stacy brings up Leave Me Breathless by Carrie Elks, which is part of Winterville. Carrie Elks is another one that writes a lot of brothers' best friends. And actually her book that come, book three, I think is already out, right? Book three is already out? Yeah, that's The Married in Vegas. Yeah, book four comes out at the end of the month. So is brother's best friend, which...
So Carla Sorensen... Forever Starts Tonight is the title. It's Jackson. I think her name is Poppy, but she's like, it's like Poppy's family is blended and like she's the result of like the marriage. So it's like there's a lot of haves and steps, but it's like it's a good family relationship. But that one's really good, just the way and it plays out. Jax is a little bit tortured, but
Jenny, do you have any others?
I read, Lauren Conley's Love in Plain Sight.
Ooh, that is a good one. They're kind of enemies.
They are. Like, she just thinks he hates her.
He doesn't. He loves her so much.
He's just really awkward. And the book starts out, like, he takes her up in his prop plane, and then they have to make an emergency landing.
Yeah, it was. And that's so then, a really good story.
The whole town's like, he's a hero. And she's like, no, he's not.
He's an asshole. No, yeah, that was a really good one. I really enjoyed it.
Lindsay, do you have one?
I have a lot left on my list that we haven't gotten to. Take by Anna Hackett, Fairy Brothers Book 4.
That's a good one.
Excellent.
Want me to roll through a few?
Yeah, go
Yeah, go
for it.
ahead.
Everybody, just shout them out.
Broken One by Brittany Shaheen. That one is the second in Falcon Falls. That is, I think, also her most read, like most popular book.
That
That
one
is
is really good.
ordinarily complicated. Talk about a tortured hero. Erin Nicholas, Sugar Coated, Hot Cakes Number One. Love that.
That
Such a
one's a good one.
fun one. There's also like no drama about it. I don't think there was any drama about it.
There was a little bit of drama, but it was not anything like obnoxious.
Yeah, it was not bad. Then Ava Rainey, The Spare. It's like the first. Also, this book is on Book Outlet. I bought it on Book Outlet and mine came signed.
Ooh, that's
Nice.
exciting.
Yeah, so I actually read the paperback because I really liked her. Well, I'll get to that, but I really liked her last book that came out. Yeah, I really like this trope in general. And a lot of like my favorite books in series, like Katherine Cowles, we talked about how she does this a lot, but Broken Exile in her last series was actually one of my favorite,
Yeah.
was actually one of my favorite
I think that's fair.
in that series.
One of
Like my favorite of the brothers' best friend that she's
my
done.
favorite brothers' best friends is Right by Jana Austen. Because the brother's best friend, she wants the brother's best friend. Like she pursues him, but she ends up with her brother's best friend's brother because he like tries to basically be like, you don't really want him. You don't really want him. You want me. And it's so funny, like laugh out loud funny. She also uses lube when they have butt sex. So.
Jane Austen
We
is a
like
good,
a
she's
lube.
good with the lube.
Yeah.
One
And
of
her
my
books have a lot of butt
favorites.
sex too.
If you're looking for something it's barely before 2020, but still 2019, so that will count, right?
Yeah, that counts for double entry.
Is Kendall Ryan's Hot Jack series, and it's book one. It's
That's a good
called
one.
Playing for Keeps. I've talked about this before, but he's like a reformed rake, which is like also one of my favorites. And it's just like he is falls so hard and fast for her. It's so good.
I like a reformed
Another good
man.
one, and it came out a while, is it was 2018, I think, To Love Jason Thorne by Ella
Oh,
Mays.
yes.
That
That's a good one.
that's one of my
Yeah,
favorites.
that's.
Yeah.
Oh, I had two timely recs. So, like, everybody watching off campus, they're start like in the show towards the end, they start alluding to Dean's sister Summer. And The Chase by Elle Kennedy is the first book in the second series after Off Campus, Briar U, and it is a brother's best friend. So it's Dean DeLaurentiis' sister. And it seems like they're going to probably mix that in for next season.
It
But
does,
I was
yeah.
like,
They're
we
skipping
need
book
to do a
two and
timely
going
rec.
to book three because those two have simultaneous, book one and book three have simultaneous timelines.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I think it makes sense too. It's a little more entertaining. And then, and like the hockey front, Playing with Trouble by Lainey Davis. That's also
Yes, that is
best
gonna.
friend. And I really like Lainey Davis.
We
So
really like Lainey Davis.
we
She's
do.
her next one, her new one that comes out in July is A Brother's Best Friend. And that's where we had to figure out which wiener she was talking about when she said wieners in the book. We had to decide if it was the IE wiener or the EI kind of wiener. Because there's a difference.
There is.
Get your wiener right, people. And no mediocre wienering.
Sorry. I have Finn, which is a mafia romance by L.K. Shaw. And it
Oh,
is back on
yeah.
Kindle Unlimited. All her books are back on
Oh, they're
Kindle
back in
Unlimited.
move them back over. I like
So,
that.
people.
Well, and if you like The Mafia, Joey by Sadie Kincaid is one of the best as well.
Lauren Rowe does a lot of Brothers Best Friend. She had Swoon. Trying to think. She has a bunch of others too.
Julia Wolf had a really good Brother's Best Friend. What was that one called?
I do not know. She
Oh.
does a lot, so that's not helpful.
That's related.
But then another thing, like in general, like I love it in romantic suspense when it's like the brother's best friend in romantic suspense. Hannah Shield has a couple of these. But basically, like the heroine is in distress, and then the brother's best friend, it's like
Well, the
sort of
brother sends the
bodyguard.
best friend to like
Yeah.
help her because he can't get there. And what
But
did
then
you
he
think was going to
realizes he has a
happen?
competency kink and she's not just a damsel in distress and he falls in love and it's so great.
Yes.
Maybe Crouch has some good ones too from, oh my God, what is that series?
Linear Tactical.
Yeah, Linear
Yes.
Tactical. That is one of the ones I recommended for summer reading. The most of
Yeah.
those, if not all, are from before 2020. And I was going to revisit some of them that I
Well,
have.
and she has her second gen too, which has some brother's best friend mixed in there as well. And she just released a new Zodiac Tactical. I haven't read it yet, but it looks really good.
I really like her.
I do
And
too.
she's
Her stories are
funny.
very good.
In
Okay.
general, like if we were just going to do like a subgenre of Brother's Best Friend, like I did not add it on here, but like I didn't add it on my list for today, but like a lot of the old ones that I love are like almost all romantic suspense.
Suspense.
Like old
Well,
meaning like before 2020.
because it builds in that like natural like
Well, it's the forced
progression, like
proximity
there
of it. It's the
it's the
forced
yeah,
moment.
like well, because Hope Ford, she does a lot of them as well, and because her one and it's like a childhood crush and they had left and served and he's protecting her, like he's acting as her bodyguard, so it has that whole like protection element that I really
Okay,
enjoy.
does anyone have any one book they need to talk about before we move on to the next thing?
No.
The Silent Waters by Brittany Cherry. I think we read
Oh,
that
that's a good one.
in a book. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
Only if you
person
want
who
to like
will.
have your heart ripped out and
Yeah. If you want to ugly cry, like the entire book,
But there's an
basically.
HEA because it's a romance.
Exactly. I mean,
That's
she has a tendency
what
to
keeps you
rip you
going.
apart when she writes a book anyway, so.
Do you have a last one, Heather, before we move on?
I don't know, you guys. I am
See, and this is the
not on
thing.
my
We
A
all
game.
sat here and said, we on our text, we said, "Oh, I'm not really prepared for tonight. I don't have a list."
Hey, I made a list.
How
I do.
hard was it to like come up
Come
with
on,
books
I
to talk?
had literally 10 minutes and I put all of these books together.
my
Like
list took me
chatting before
5 minutes
we went live, I
to.
was like, I literally got home at so like the episode starts at 7 p.m. for me. I got home at 6:46, turned my computer on, logged in, immediately started putting my list together.
Yeah, because there is
We
something
did pretty well.
evergreen about this trope
Well, and that's the
that we
thing that
keep
it's
coming
one of
back to
those
it.
tropes we all really like, though. It's not like
Yeah.
enemies
Yeah.
to lovers or friends to lovers where we like some, we hate some, like, and there's like not really an in
Typically,
between.
these land for even if
Yes,
it's only
yes.
like a 3-star, it's not a bad 3-star. It's
Well,
a
because like
it was a great
the
read, mac and cheese.
like Reason to Believe by Rebecca Yarros, like I absolutely hated the reaction of the brother. Like I hated it. Like I wanted to like shove him like through a page if that was physically possible. But the story itself was really good.
Yeah.
But it's in all the kinds of different things we read. So it's in romantic suspense, it's in
Yes,
sports,
it's
it's
like
in mafia, it's in
across the
all
genre.
the
It's all over the
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have
Yes.
one thing to say about that that I forgot earlier, and then I have two more books.
Okay.
So, The Brother's Best Friend Reaction, I do not mind it when the next book or like one of the books in the series is the brother's book and you see how like his best friend is like the person he relies on, his person. And then, like, the relationship with his sister has now like, completely destroyed that element for him. Like, it's just completely changed it. Like, because, like, that's a big thing. It does change the dynamics.
It does, yeah.
When they handle that in the subsequent book, I like forgive the reaction quite a bit if it's done well. And I think Carla Sorensen has one that's kind of like that, where like the brother is just like goes off the rails.
In the Kendall Ryan one, he was Owen is his name, and he was really upset. And he kind of explained it like, you're almost like replacing me, you know, like you're my person, and now she's your
Your
person.
person. Yeah.
Well, sometimes when they have like an adverse reaction where it's like, I have seen you blow through this many girls and I don't want you to treat my sister the same
Yeah.
way. So it's like, if that is like the reaction for it, but it's like you're not good enough for her, or like you're a horrible person type of thing. That's when it bugs me. It's like, dude, you are friends with this person. If you think he is horrible, why are you hanging out with him? But
Right.
if you think he's a giant hoe and doesn't want him to like don't you don't want him to hurt your sister because of that is valid.
Okay, we
Yeah.
have to go on because we're like hitting our hour stride here, you
Oh, that's true. And I
guys.
got to
But
get up
one more
fucking
thing.
early.
The last book, Keeping Quinn, this is a great example of what Leah was saying, where like the reaction is that way. But the thing that Riley does when her characters like have the conflict scene with the brother or whatever, the brother's best friend is always like, this is end game. Do
Yeah.
not fight me on this. Like, get on board.
Well,
And
but
then
also, like, if I have to pick and
faithful.
choose, I am picking her.
Yeah. And great way to handle it. Like,
Okay.
top notch.
We have to
Anyways.
go. We have to go to the next thing, or we're not going to get books of the
Oh.
weekend.
It's
Okay, it's that time
that time
for
for
Book of
Book
the
of
Week. Book of
the
the Week. Okay, Jenny, Book of the Week.
I'm reading An Overdue Match by Sarah Mondon. It is a librarian that her hair fell out due to medical reasons, and she's moved to a small town because her fiance like broke up with her because her hair fell out. And then she's trying to match make people, but meanwhile her coworkers match make her.
I love that. Heather, what's your book of the week?
It's called Knox Unleashed by S. Cole. It is MC, so it's Iron Outlaws in Florida. It's book one in a new series.
Oh,
It's
she spun off again.
enemies like to lovers, small town, age gap. They get forced proximity because of a hurricane. She's the sheriff's daughter. You guys, it was really good.
I've read a
Excellent.
couple of her other like
It's
MCs and they're pretty good. I've liked them.
gritty. So it's like all the things that I love about MC. So if MC's
Yes.
not your jam, you should probably check Trigger
These
Warnings.
aren't the soft MCs. These are like
Oh
1%er
no.
Leah, what is your book of the week?
Mine is The Roommate Rules by Brighton Walsh. My reading has been not great lately, but this one is really fun. Like it's a small town, enemies-ish. It's not really enemies because so the heroine is a librarian and the hero owns a tattoo shop, but he likes to pick at her and like he likes her when she gets really mad at him. And so like he does shit. Like he parks his motorcycle on the sidewalk in front of the library. So like she comes out and yells at him. Like he gets off on it and he really enjoys it. But then there's a meddler in the small town who basically like forces them to live together because like they fight all the time. And so it's like this whole like process and things like that. And it's fun. It's small town. It's one of the things I love about small town. Like the town itself is a huge like part of the story. It's really fun.
Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
It is Out of Her League by Ava Rainey. It is actually a book I read like from NetGalley earlier this year, before it came out, but it just released in May. The female main character is a surgeon. She's in practice, like trying to figure out what she's doing after she completes residency. Her residency is with a sports team, like a soccer team in New York. Her parents are putting like a ton of pressure on her to like be elite because they're both surgeons. Her mom actually like stepped away from career to raise her as a child, so she feels like a obligation to her mom to like basically execute her career to like perfection, because she feels like her mom has regrets. It's so good. Like the family dynamics are good, but then her ex-boyfriend winds up going to her best friend's destination wedding with his new fiance, and she
Ooh.
freaks out, invites one of the soccer stars to be her plus one for the wedding, and it's like forced proximity. Like there's the destination wedding trope. They're like spending all this time
This is like
together,
a fake
trial
dating.
by fire, but they knew each other before, so it's not just like instant love. It's so good.
Excellent. My book of the week is Forever Undone by Jay Sommin. Brother's best friend, single dad, close proximity. They're living in a house together. This is a next gen book. It's two children from couples in the Edge of Reason series, which is the series before the Fitzgerald Billionaire Brothers.
The original Fitz series.
Yeah. It is the girl is the daughter of the Fitz sister, the only girl in that family. So it's her daughter. It works. It didn't feel overly troped of a book. One of the things, you know, reading has been better for me than it was previous. It's been much better lately. And so I'm going back to some of my old favorites to read what I've missed from them. I read a Kaylee Ryan. It was really great. Anyway, but one of the things that I really enjoyed about Forever Undone was it was not overly tropey. Like, there wasn't all this other stuff we didn't need.
Yeah.
But I'm really worried about the next book in the series because I did see it, like the tropes of it, and it just feels like too much. He's an underground boxer. He's a chef. She's a nurse. They get married in Vegas. Like, I don't know.
And they're like best friends.
Yeah, friend group.
It's friends to lovers.
Yeah, I don't need all of that. So I'm not sure about the next book. I might skip it and wait to the next one. The overly tropey books are not working for me, is what I think.
You should just adopt some of my things. I only read trope. If I just pick up in the middle of a series. If I like the trope, I'm reading it.
That's where I'm going. Honestly, that's where I'm at. Like, I had read the first book in Kaylee Ryan's football series, and I just read the last book because it's his daughter's best friend, and he's the coach.
He's the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was spicy. Anyway, so that's my book of the week. Make sure you join us back here next week, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live on the YouTube. It is episode 300,
which is crazy,
along with our 6th year anniversary of Buzzing About Romance. I've been doing this for 6 years. And it's crazy. It's bonkers. So I'm excited to talk about that. We have a prompt in Discord, and there will become one out on Patreon. If you have a favorite memory or a favorite episode or something you just really, really love about Buzzing About Romance, send us an email, send us a DM, something, and let us know. And we will share all those thoughts as we celebrate next week.
Send a picture.
What is the picture, Jenny? Does it
tell you that now? It's not inappropriate.
Does it involve me drinking things?
No. Like, I am going to create a picture that will make sense.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Make a picture. Anyway, if you have a brother's best friend romance and you'd like to tell us about it, we want to hear about it. We'd love to add it to our TBR. You can drop your recommendations in the comment of this YouTube video or drop them over on our socials. And I think that's it. I think that's everything. Is that everything?
Probably not, but who cares?
Who cares? Anyway, thank you everyone for hanging out with me tonight. Thank you for revisiting Brother's Best Friend. I appreciate all of you.
It's always a good time.
Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.